the front of the brain. That's the most developed part. This is what science says today. The most developed part is the front part. Well, before they told us that, the religion required that we put that part on the ground, on the floor, glorifying God. And God said he made the man of the earth. So out of the earth it came. And then he said he's going to return the man, he's going to die, he's going to return him back to the earth. Well, God, I am dead when I'm under the authority of narcotics, drugs, whiskey, poontang, etc. God, I am dead when I'm under the authority of my bank account. My money is managing me and I'm not managing it. God, I am dead. So return me to the realm of science and knowledge and direction from you so that I can stand back up a living man on my feet again. Huh? Yes. So we glorify God. Say, God, I lost it, but I'm giving it back to you. I think I found myself. I'm going to put my head on the ground that you took me out of. In hope that I will be born again and live again and glorify you with my whole life and with my mind. Huh? Yes. Then educate your brothers and educate your sisters. Educate your public for a better world. This is prayer. This is prayer. That's why on the Jummah day, we don't have to say four rak'ahs of dhuhr, the noon midday prayer. We cut it in half. Why? Because what I'm doing here is prayer. My khutbah is prayer. And when the Bible has Jesus saying, give us this day our daily bread. That was a prayer, wasn't it? He wasn't talking about Wonder Bread or whatever kind of bread you got here that you buy from your stores here. He wasn't talking about that kind of bread. He was talking about the bread without the B. The R-E-A-D. Red. Something red and red correctly. Give me something red and red correctly, God, and I need it daily. Is that proof in the Bible? Yes. In the Bible, instead of Jesus, says, take this in the communion. Take this. What was it? Wine. And in remembrance of me. And what does the Bible say about the wine? It represents blood. And what does it say about the blood and the wine? It's the spirit of the New Testament. And it says, and he says, and take this bread in remembrance of me, my body. And what does the Bible say about that bread? It says that it is the doctrine of the New Testament. The doctrine. The doctrine means teachings. So he said, one, the blood and the wine represents the spirit, and the bread represents teaching. So I come back to my suggestion to you that you take the B off of B-R-E-A-D and just read it R-E-A-D. It's an agreement with the New Testament, what I told you. Huh? Okay. Allah Akbar. We're about to wrap this up now. It's a wonderful loaf of bread. In fact, it's 5-in-1. Here is what we should be looking at. Islam comes to awaken us for community life. Life in community. Muslims can't be Muslims on an island somewhere to ourselves, away from our society, away from our people. Muslims are obligated by the teachings of Islam to establish the individual in community, not outside of community, in community. All of your aspirations, all of your hopes, you are to first look at your community and then pick a place bigger interest in your community for you to establish yourself upon, or for you to establish yourself in. This is Islam. Islam requires it of us, that we don't just go out on our own individually and try to make a life for ourselves. We have to look at our community first and plan our life with respect for what our community gave us, with respect for what our community needs, and with respect for where our community has to go in order to meet what God asks of community in Quran and in the teachings and life of Muhammad the Prophet. This is what we have to do. Islam is community life, not just living our own life privately, selfishly like that. And Islam comes to do what civilization, when we are told by God that this is the religion of fitrah, means the religion of origin, archaeologists, all the scientists, modern scientists, who study the past life of man on this earth, they find evidence that human life is an evolving life. And just like a plant, and God says to us, doesn't he, that you're created like a plant? Just like a plant starts with a seed, and it develops itself upon a stem, and later upon the body of itself, and later produce beautiful design, a beautiful symmetry, a beautiful picture, structure, and oftentimes produce something useful to other life, not just itself, but useful to other life. Seeds that other life feed on, or fruit that other life feed on, including human beings, or beauty that the human soul feeds on, is giving something. It's not just establishing itself, but it's establishing itself and giving something to other than itself. To other than itself. And the simplest of plant that has nothing, no seed, no fruit, no nuts, no beauty, it dies, and its dead body enriches the soil that it came up out of. Its dead body enriches the soil that it was taken from. So even if it has the least to offer, it does have something to offer. It makes that soil richer for other things, for itself and other things to grow in. So God has created life not to live selfishly, but God has created life also to give unselfishly. Charity. And some of the greatest advancements we have made for human society have been made possible because of people not being selfish. Because if we were selfish, we wouldn't even give the knowledge freely. Not to mention the material benefits that some of us are fortunate to have, that we share with others so others can have a better life. But the sciences, the knowledge, we wouldn't have those in the world making the world so beautiful if it wasn't for that charity that's in the heart of every human being. So this is the beauty of religion, brothers. This is the substance of religion. The substance of religion is not in show, not in ritual. It's not in dressing up in your ihram, two pieces, and bringing your picture back to Brooklyn to show people yourself in two bath towels. That's not the substance of this religion. The substance of this religion is not Allahu Akbar! Nobody heard it. The people are dead. You got to teach for them to hear. So just like it is for the evolution of man, science believes, social science, believes that man has a natural urge, desire, and urge in him to evolve. That means gets better and better, get more developed and more developed, become more resourceful, and more resourceful. That it means more qualified to do many and better and greater things. Science says that man is created with this spirit and desiring him to evolve socially. And science says that civilization does not really present itself until man perceives his social aim. Social aim, where he should take his life in community with other men and people, family, etc. Where he should take the community life, not just his private life. When he is turned on to where, to want to know, where should I take my community life, my race, my family, my tribe, the people that I live with on this earth, or on this island, or on this continent, or on this peninsula, etc. When he gets in that mind, that's when he starts to evolve socially. And it takes him to his social aim. That is to have comfort not just for himself, but have comfort for the people he belongs to, not just for himself. And if your Imam W. Dean was not turned on to this when he was a teenager, you wouldn't have W. Dean. It's not the Quran and the Sunnah that made this Imam. It is my desire to live the best of my social nature and to follow the best aim in this social nature, so that I and our people will be helped by my existence. And who turned that on in me? Elijah Muhammad, my father. He turned that on in me. Yes. For it's because of that, was of that nature, it's because of my fitra that I was able to guide you to the Quran and the Sunnah. I know where my salvation is. I know where my Savior was. In my fitra. Allahu Akbar. Now, to succeed in this world, where all human beings have the same nature, they have, God gave everybody a fitra. Every human being is created with fitra. And to compete with this world now, in this world, and succeed, we need a strategy. And we need the best or the superior strategy. Because other people have strategies too. Other nations, other communities have strategies too. We need the best strategy. We need a strategy that can compete with all other strategies and not be defeated. That's the strategy of Islam. That's the strategy Muhammad had. Prayers and peace be upon him. The best strategy is the one that the world doesn't trust. It fears that strategy. The best strategy is the strategy of openness. Openness, not secrecy. The best strategy is the strategy of openness. God loves truth. God loves perish in a righteous man. That's what God loves. Truth and perish in a righteous man. A righteous man is brave enough to trust truth, even when falsehood tells him you can live longer if you use me for a while. The best strategy is openness. But don't think this is a silly, foolish openness. This is a wise openness. It reveals itself to those on top first, before the little man hears it. Those on top get it first. Because they're the ones that can hurt you. They're the ones that can make a lot of trouble with you. So you give it to them first. It's put on a language that escapes the man on the ground, but reaches the man in the high tower. It reaches him. And you say, uh-oh, we got company. And we didn't create him. He's telling him everything. He was talking. He didn't even tell him what we're doing up here. Angels got to do a review work now. We got to review our work and see where we are right now and see if we've done everything wrong and make sure we're on solid ground and see if there's any prediction that we can look at and maybe explain this guy's creation here. But they go back and study. They go back and study. And if they come up with a conclusion, or he has seen into the sanctuary and the sacred quarters, but he is not guided by God. He lacks the wisdom that God gives. So let's ignore him. Let's embarrass him. Let's bring out his weak side. Let's destroy him. But if they say he's genuine, he's wise, he's protected by God, leave him alone and keep quiet. Be as quiet as you possibly can. Because everything you say, he's going to hear it. So they plan too. But the innocent ones among them, see, they're not all innocent. Do you realize in the higher regions of the heavens, there were the angels and God speaking to them. And among them was Iblis, one who was leading them. And that one was not prepared to obey God to the fullest extent. When God revealed his plan for human being, Iblis rebelled and refused to obey God. And then challenged God's creation. Said, I'm going to prove it not worthy of what you are offering it. That was Iblis. So now, if this was in the heaven, in the higher region of the heaven, in the presence of God, where God was addressing them, what do you expect today on this earth? Don't you expect when righteousness comes, there's going to be somebody disturbed? When determination comes to advance the man where God wants man to go, don't you think somebody going to be disturbed? Yes, plenty of them going to be disturbed. And they're going to be disturbed right up there in the high tower. Right up there in the high region. They're going to be disturbed. And they're going to make plans to defeat our efforts. We must have a great strategy. Maulana Maududi, the revivalist from India of this modern time, he passed away, but thank God I was in the Hajj on the Hajj with him and met him on Arafat and had conversation with that great man before he died. He said, Islam is an idea for the reform of the whole world. So Islam is an idea or a plan for reordering the whole world. Is it alone? No. Christianity has as its focus the whole world. To reorder the whole world according to Christian teachings or ideas. The Jews have a same thing. They have a plan, though they keep separate. They keep separate, but their influence is not kept among them. Their influence is everywhere. Even in China, a long time ago, their influence was reaching all the way into China. The Jews. So the Jews obviously also have a plan or idea for reordering the whole world. When you read the Bible, Old Testament, you can see that the Jews have a plan for reordering the whole world. So we are not alone. We are in competition with the Jews, with the Christians. But we people of the book of Scripture are not alone. We have been in competition with communism. And before communism, other isms who are trying to reorder the whole world. Huh? This is not something I'm telling you. You think I'm talking to you for my own sake? I don't stroke myself, brother. And God knows that. I'm not telling you this because I want to talk. I'm telling you this because it is a must. Because it is absolutely necessary that I talk to you this way. It's urgent that I speak to you this way. So we are not alone. We're in competition with others. In this day and time, what is important that we understand about this competition? Islam requires us that we don't compete with anybody to achieve something bad, something wrong. We are in a contest with others. We are challenging and being challenged. Hear me. We are challenging and we are being challenged. But we invite people of good intentions, people of good nature, people who want to see fairness for all people. We invite them to compete with us and we compete with you as a race for all that is good and excellent. It should be a competition involving well-wishers. Involving well-wishers who believe that if you succeed a few miles ahead of me, it will be a victory announced early for all of us. Huh? We should be competing with this kind of awareness and with this kind of interest in our competitors. We cheer you on. Let's go, brothers, in competition. Let us go with all that we have to achieve to the glory of God, for the comfort of man on this earth, all that is good and excellent. Isn't that beautiful? That is beautiful. And we say, our campaign is not against you well-wishers. Our campaign is not against you innocent people. Our campaign is only against the oppressor. That's Quran I just gave you. Our campaign is only against the unjust. The oppressors. Glorify God. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Wa lillahi alhamd. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi ya azza wa jal. Ameen. Praise God, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, who is Lord, Cherisher, Sustainer of all the worlds. We praise God, who sent Muhammad to be a mercy to all the worlds. Ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alameen. God says, we have not sent you, speaking to Muhammad, to be any other than a mercy to all the worlds. And we witness that God educated uneducated man in scripture and in revelation and prepared him to be leader for the whole world, for every school of thought, for every field of knowledge. He created Muhammad, who was uneducated. He created him and establish him as a leader to lead mankind into a new world. The enlightenment, the age of enlightenment, the Renaissance or the Renaissance all came about because of Muhammad the Prophet being inspired by God, and a man like us, a mortal human being just like us, but in his nature, not in academics. He was established in excellent human nature, not in science, not in academics. And God raised him up and made him the leader to inspire the intellect of man and the hearts and souls of men and women to create a world anew and bring on to all the world, ethics, morals, ethics, science, enlightenment, civilization on the highest level. This is what we witness. So if God did that for one human being that had not a rabbi to teach him, had not a monk to teach him, had not a priest to teach him, had not a Christian scholar to teach him, no theologian to help him alone, God can do it for a so-called Negro, an African American, abandoned by the world. God can do it again. And God has done it again. Thank God. That's my message to you today. So let us respect what God has created us for and respect the excellence that he has created us in, the human mold of excellence. And let us respect what has happened to us in these parts, the United States of America, to turn us on to a new mind and a new thinking and a new spirit to succeed, made possible by what appeared to be a corruption of Islam. The teachings of Mr. Farrar to my father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I thank you, and we ask Allah to forgive us our mistakes, forgive us our shortcomings, forgive us our error, forgive us our sins, take away all our sins, for only you can remove sin. Amen. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.